To the Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The Perfect Will of God, as we pick up in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How can I know God's will for my life? I can know God's will for my life as I just surrender my life to Him, as I yield my body to God, and as I seek after God. God will reveal His will through my life. My life will become a progressive revelation of the will of God for me. Thus, I've presented my life to God. I've presented the issues of my life to God. I've committed myself to Him, seeking not to have any strong will of my own or allow some strong desire to master me, just to flow free in God's Spirit. Accepting what comes as coming from God, because I've asked God to bring into my life those things that He wants. Accepting those things that pass away as not from God, because I've asked God to take away from my life those things He doesn't want. So I don't sit there and weep over lost opportunities. Oh, if I'd only done this, or oh, if I only had that. If God wanted me to do it, He would have led me to do it. If He wanted me to have it, I would have had it, you see. And so it is that commitment of myself to God. And as I do, then God's will becomes a progressive revelation. So I know what God's will is for my life today, and I'll know tomorrow what His will is as He unfolds it to me as I walk with Him. Sort of exciting to live that way. You never know what a day's going to bring forth as God unfolds His will, His purpose for our lives. For I say, through the grace that is given unto me, that every man that is among you, he ought not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. What do you do with it? We can exercise the faith. We can use the faith that God has given to us. Or we can just let it die. But God has given to every man a measure of faith. Person says, well, I just don't have any faith. That is not true. I've not yet met a person that didn't have faith. If you didn't have faith, you wouldn't lie down on that bed tonight. You'd be afraid that it was going to fall through. You have faith, it's going to hold you up, so you lie down on it. If you didn't have faith, you wouldn't try and start your car, because you wouldn't have faith the thing was going to start when you turn the ignition key. We exercise faith in a lot of things, not always the right things. Now, as he deals with the subject of the gifts of God, he begins by warning us against thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought, and that's one of the greatest dangers that I see of men who have been gifted of God. They get into a little ivory tower, and they begin to think that they are really something, and they begin to, you know, seek adulation, admiration, bucks for my gift, you know. How many have prostituted the work and the gifts of God in their lives, trying to use it for their own personal enrichment or glory? I have a deal with God. If ever I start to do that, he's to wipe me out immediately. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ, by which I was crucified to the world and the world to me. But there is a prevalent danger to any person who experiences the working of God's Holy Spirit through their lives to become lifted up by those around them because of what God has done. And the moment you begin to be lifted up, your effectiveness for God's kingdom diminishes. Now, people say, oh, there's still multitudes being saved, you know, oh, and all. But, you know, if I am giving my body to be burned, and if it isn't the love of Christ that is motivating me, but the love for riches or glory, whatever, then it profits me nothing. For many will come in that day saying, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? We cast out devils in your name. We healed the sick. We did many marvelous works. And he'll say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Their motivations got all twisted up. They began to do things for their own glory. They began to seek their own honor in their own name. The Bible warns about those who name things after themselves. Sort of a dangerous thing. Not for any man to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly. Come on, let's be serious. You're nothing but a sinner saved by grace. And anything you have, God gave to you to begin with. So why are you going around as though you are something? For God has dealt to every man a measure of faith, for as we have many members in one body, that is, I have fingers and hands and toes and eyes and ears and used to have hair. Stupid perversity. I have it all over my back, but can't grow it on the top of my head. It's weird. We have many members, yet we're all one body. And all members do not have the same function. My eyes were made to function as eyes, and they function well as eyes, but they surely don't function well as ears. I can't hear very well through my eyes. And vice versa. So the body has many members. Each member has its own function within the body. Not all of them are doing the same thing. Not all of them were created to do the same thing. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So we are all put together in the body of Christ, and each of us have our own function within the body. And he's not just talking about us here at Calvary Tonight. We're the body of Christ. We each have our function in the body. He's talking about Calvary Chapel being a part of the body of Christ general. The other churches, the other denominations. We're all a part of the body of Christ and members one of another. And we shouldn't be vying with each other. We shouldn't be biting and devouring and destroying one another. We need to identify the enemy and concentrate our efforts against him, but realize that we are one body, members one of another, and that God has a purpose for the Presbyterian churches and for the Methodist churches and the Baptist churches and the Nazarenes and the Pentecostals, and not find ourselves, you know, in conflict or trying to find what's wrong with them. Let's find out what's wrong with us and seek to correct what's wrong with us. The Bible says, therefore, let a man examine himself. For if we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged of God. And sometimes we find ourselves in that mode, so busy trying to examine the flaws and the faults of someone else that we totally ignore our own. David said, search me, O God. Not search that guy next to me, O God, and show him his faults. But search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, O Lord, and see if there is some way of wickedness in me, and lead me in your path. It's a personal, individual thing. And it's something we should all be quite interested in, that God would do his work in our hearts. But we are members one of another. And it is true in this sense. We are, yes, here corporately, the body of Christ, and not all of us have the same office. And thus, we need to realize that God has called some as pastor teachers. God has called some as deacons. God has called some as intercessors. God has called some to street evangelism and these various things. But don't feel that God has called everyone to, say, street evangelism and thus feel guilty because you can't do street evangelism. Oh, I get so scared and so nervous and I just, I cringe and on. I can't stand going up and handing someone a tract. Well, obviously God didn't call you to hand out tracts. So don't feel condemned and guilty as a second-rate Christian and defeated because, you know, I get so scared I can't hand out a tract. Oh, I'm failing God. No, you're not. If God called you to hand out tracts, he'd give you all kinds of boldness and love and verve and everything else for that. Just talk to the people who hand out tracts. They love it. God's called them to that. But we are not all called to the same thing, and we need to recognize that and quit these guilt feelings because I'm not called to the same ministry you have, and I would sure like to do the ministry you're doing, and I wish I could do that. Oh, if I could only do that, and I feel so guilty because I can't do it. Well, God didn't enable me or call me to do it. He didn't make me a finger, and thus I can't do the work of the finger. But I may admire the work of the finger and the thumb. I may wish that I could put things together like he does. God, sir, called me to be a mouth. But be thankful we're not all mouths. So we each take our place in the body and fill our part, do our part, realizing, though, that it is one body to be coordinated by the Spirit, walking in love, demonstrating Christ to the world because of our love for each other and our united efforts with one another for Jesus Christ. Each of us taking our place, doing our part, and we give a powerful witness then to the world as they see how harmoniously we live and function together as God's children. And Christ is magnified among us. So, we being many are still one body in Christ. We're all a part of each other. You can't escape it. Having then gifts that are differing according to the grace that is given unto us. If it's prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Prophecy is speaking forth the word of God. Ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, and that is to wait upon it or to fulfill it, study it, prepare for it, waiting upon it. Or he that exhorts on exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity, and he that rules with diligence, and he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy, without dissimulation. Simulation is an imitation. There used to be Diamond Jim. He used to be on that station out of Del Rio, Texas. And used to offer genuine simulated diamonds. And all of the people down south used to send in to get their $5 genuine simulated diamond from Diamond Jim. Let love be without imitations, without hypocrisy, not a put on, but let it be genuine. Now he gives us just a whole bunch of little exhortations. They're just little phrase exhortations, and each one is almost a sermon in itself. So let's just go over the list and let it sort of sink in. Abhor that which is evil. One of the things that God said concerning Job is that he hates evil. He said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? He fears God and hates evil." The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So, abhor that which is evil. It didn't say tolerate that which is evil, accept that which is evil, live with that which is evil, let it live, you know, abhor it. And there's an awful lot. Cleave, stick to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. There is so much me first, pushing my way to the front, wanting to get the best, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, not the last thing, but the first thing. Learn to pray about everything first. Distributing to the necessity of saints, taking care of the needs within the body of Christ. And we do seek to do that here at Calvary. Unfortunately, we do not have the resources to take care of those outside of the body. And so people come for help. And if they are members and attend here, then we seek to help them. If they are not, then we just sadly tell them that we just don't have the resources to help those outside. But distributing to the necessity of the saints, we do feel that that is an obligation. Given to hospitality, then bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be sensitive to other people's feelings. Be of the same mind one toward another, and mind not the high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. All of these are just pithy little words of exhortation. I imagine Romaine could have a field day in this portion of Scripture because it's all good exhortation, and he that exhorteth needs to wait upon his exhortation. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things that are honest in the sight of all men. Honesty. Not taking vengeance. And if it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, it isn't always possible. There are some people that just no way you can live in peace with them. But let it be their fault, not yours. As much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord." Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. This is a quotation actually out of the Proverbs, and just exactly what it may mean has been a matter of conjecture, but it probably means that you would bring him to burning shame. In other words, your good treatment, your kind and loving treatment would bring him to a burning shame. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So, great exhortation, and that is, we talk about meditation. Now, if you want meditation, you need to come back to these, beginning with verse 9, And you need to spend time meditating on each of these and see how it can apply to your own life. Read it over, think about it, and think of how it is operating in your life right now and how you can better do these things, how you can make it apply more completely to you, in what ways you can do these things. But these are things that we need to really be following after and seeking to do in order that we might live a life that is pleasing unto our Father. So that particular portion can stand a lot of meditation, and I encourage you, meditate on these things.
Looking for a deeper walk with God? The Word for Today presents The Man God Uses. It's a powerful resource that asks, are you willing to become an instrument that God can use to accomplish His will? In this inspiring book, Pastor Chuck takes a closer look at the personal qualities of the men and women that God used throughout Scripture. What set them apart, and how can you be used by God today? Discover the answers and more with The Man God Uses. Order your copy now at thewordfortoday.com. Or you can call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD.
Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, David declared. I find that the word of God is many times like a searchlight turned on inside, lighting up some of those dark corners. So many times I find the Word of God speaking directly to my heart as the Spirit makes application and shows me my failings, my weaknesses, and exhorts me in the right path. And thus may the Word of God work in your heart and life, drawing you ever closer unto the divine ideal, that which God would have you to be as you walk with Jesus Christ. And may the Lord bless you and be with you this week. And may He strengthen you in your walk, that you might bring forth fruit unto righteousness and for the glory of His name. And may you be doers of the word, and not hearers only. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Romans on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Romans 12. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of
is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.